This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
There are very few industries I've seen where people without a college degree, with just a license, a laptop, and a car, can go out and become millionaires.
Well, welcome, friends, to another exciting episode of the Color of Money podcast. You are tuned in for a very special guest today. Well, I guess every time we have a special guest, but we have a special-er guest, maybe. And I am, of course, Julia Lachey. I am joined by my co-host, Emmerich Peace. We are missing our brothers, Bo and Daniel. Bo's traveling and Daniel's under the weather, so y'all pray for him. But together, Emmerich and I, we're going to interview Jay Papazan today. And so if you are in the world of real estate, I probably don't need... pretty much any world of productivity, world of real estate, world of business. I probably don't even need to introduce who Jay Papazan is. I mean, he's got a Wikipedia page, for crying out loud. I put in his name, and on Wikipedia, you know you've made it when you got a Wikipedia page, right?
Right.
So Jay is, of course, an author, a business executive at Keller Williams. He's the co-author of what we call the KW Bible. The people in the world call it the Millionaire Real Estate Agent. Among some others, there's a real estate agent investor. There's a bunch of New York Times sellers that he has had his finger on. The One Thing happens to be my favorite book, and he's got a whole company built around that. But today, we have the honor and the privilege of speaking with Jay about his newest book. He's written a new book called The Rookie Real Estate Agent. And so how this fits into the Color of Money podcast is that, of course, you all know that we talk about four different things. We talk about real estate sales. We talk about development. We talk about leadership, and we talk about wealth building. And sometimes we talk about them all. Today, we're going to talk about that first pillar of real estate sales. If you are a sales professional or considering being a sales professional, how does one do so in such a way that you're successful? This book leads you to the next book. And Jay is going to talk to us about all things real estate today. So welcome, Jay.
Welcome, Jay. Hey, you know, Julia, I got something about that. Like it says the rookie real estate agent. Here's the deal. Most of us never really learned real estate the right way the first time. So we're still really rookies. We just don't know we're rookies. Some of us are succeeding in spite of ourselves. So when the book says rookie real estate agent, I would suggest it says real estate agents that don't make more than $300,000. How about we say that?
It's really close to how we started the book. And Mark, like we asked the question and everything in the book either made it or didn't around what would an agent need to know and do in order to earn $100,000 in their first year?
Right.
And so that's, you know, when you ask people, what's your goal, right? Y'all taught in 1,000 offices just like I have. Hey, so what's your goal? The most common answer we hear is 100,000. And we also know a lot of people have maybe been in the business for a long time and still haven't hit that number.
Yes.
So the basics never go out of style. But it does kind of narrow our focus to that very singular goal. I want to get to that level because that helps me get to the next.
Tell us what it's all about, Jay. What is the book about?
So this book actually was born from the Millionaire Real Estate Agent. So every year we do 50 or 60 new interviews with millionaire agents because even if we're not going to publish the second edition, and it may happen in the future, we never know when we'll get Gary to write that book. We always wanted our training and coaching to be up to date. And probably 7 years ago, Julia, Emmerich, I asked our team, I said, let's start asking a new question because I was curious about their origin stories. And so I just asked, you know, Julia, what did you do your first year as a millionaire agent that other agents don't? And we got hundreds of those answers. I think in the end of the day, we interviewed over 250 either rookies of the year, people who had been a rookie of the year in their own place, or people who were millionaire agents. And that question kind of gave birth to the book. I started to see a pattern. They gave a lot of the same answers. And you're like, wow, it's not that complicated. They're all in different markets. They're in different parts of the world. But you can simplify the formula to just a few things that matter most.
What are the few things that matter most? Or is that too much? Do we have to get the book to find out?
Well, both. Well, you can talk about the basics, right? If people like have to wait for the library edition to come out, I'm fine with that too. But we can go through that. But I do think it starts with this idea of whatever industry you came from. And as Emmerich pointed out, there's a lot of agents right now that need to revisit the basics. And you're a fan of the One Thing book. And one of my favorite stories we found is on The Path to Mastery. And maybe you remember it because it's at the end of the book. The guy who invented judo, right? The guy, right, who invented this whole martial art. When he was on his deathbed, all of his students came together with him. And his wish was to be buried in his white belt. And he wanted them to hear that. That here's the guy that was the best that ever was, that invented this whole art form, and he wanted to go into eternity wearing the outfit of a beginner, because that was so important, right? To have those eyes on every time, to never take anything for granted, to always be learning. So that's just kind of like puts it out there. Even if you came from sales and you're going into real estate, put the beginner's mind on, ask the questions that may feel stupid, get the answers you need. And then don't neglect the basics. Mm-hmm. So like we can walk through some of the big ideas of the book. And if we want to start, we always start with mindset.
I was just about to say, but we have to start with mindset.
Yeah. Of course we do. Yeah. Of course we do. So I think the fundamental thing when we ask people about mistakes that people had made is that they did not treat it like a business from the beginning. And so they come in, they're part-time. Maybe it's a, you know, a side hustle before it becomes a career. But all the people who went on to eventually become incredibly successful expressed some level of regret that they hadn't treated it like a business sooner. And by treat it like a business, it's like, it's not a hobby. It's not a side gig. It's a business opportunity. Right. To go to your other, you know, pillars of wealth. When I ask people to do their net worth, right? Like, what is everything that you own and everything that you owe? And let's add it up. Let's, what's your net worth, financial net worth? You know, the thing that they almost always neglect to put on there is the business they're running. So here, day one, you're starting your real estate career. You're actually building an asset for your future if you do it well. So think of it that way. And that'll like, oh, I need a separate bank account. Oh, I have to pay quarterly taxes. Oh, I have to have office hours. Like I have to show up. If I was an employee in this business, I would fire me most of the time.
Yeah.
So am I going to show up and do a minimum level of work in order to get the outcomes I hope for? So treat it like a business is the number one mindset that we heard back from those interviews.
And that was the reason why I said, it doesn't matter where you are. You probably should pick up that book because most people have not treated it like a business. They still don't treat it like a business. And the reality is, what's the saying? A $5 million producer is a $10 million producer in disguise.
Huh.
It comes back to the fundamentals. If you're not fundamentally sound, you never get to the next level.
You hear it the opposite. When you ask an agent, what's your production? They will tell you their last best year.
Yeah. Or it doesn't have to be the last one. Jay, so, I still go around and tell everybody, oh, yeah, my team, we do about 50, 60 million. That was in 2021.
Okay? Yeah. By the way, that was 99% of real estate agents' last best year, right? Because we had this full market coming out of COVID. Right. It was incredible. It was like we thought it was going to be a disaster. It turned out to be this opportunity. Okay. But really, we're the average of our last 5 years.
Yes.
And that's a more accurate, right? We have our highs, we have our lows. We're not our worst year and we're not our best year.
Yeah.
But if we start off and we have the right attitude about what we're building, we can build, like, the thing about real estate careers, and y'all know this because y'all been there. Real estate businesses, they may not sell for multiples like a tech business, but they throw off cash flow like very few other businesses do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that cash flow becomes then your nest egg to invest and buy those assets that will accumulate over time, maybe even at a faster rate. But there are very few industries I've seen where people without a college degree, with just a license, a laptop, and a car, can go out and become millionaires. So there is no lid, right, on what you can do if you do the right things.
That's my favorite part about real estate. It's accessible to everyone at some level. In fact, it's free if you go through our K-Score program, free to the end user. So it's less than entry level price. If you use some of the programs and incentives that are offered, you can get in without actually paying a dime.
And what's that saying, Jay? equal opportunity, unequal reward.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's sales in a nutshell, right? Everybody has the opportunity. And we wrote that on the Millionaire Real Estate Investor. Anyone can, not everyone will. My publisher's like, why would you put that on the cover? Because it's the truth. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes need, you know, a little bit of a kick in their derriere to get them into motion. Just because it's possible doesn't mean it's probable. It becomes probable when we start doing the right things.
So, okay, if I have the right mindset, if I'm thinking the right way and I have the right mindset and I'm like, okay, I can do this. Anyone can do this. I'm going to treat this like a business. Let's go. Then what?
So I think we took a leap and it was not a popular decision, but I think it's the right decision. One of the things that we see is people come into real estate, and I know this statistically because The Economist reports to me. When you look at people coming into real estate, it's not about how many home sales there are. It's about what they believe the average commission earned is. So if the average commission earned in your market, let's just throw out a round number because it's easier, is $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
They look up and they're like, man, I'm making 75 grand. Could I sell 7 houses and actually sell an 8th and get a raise? So that's the math they do. So the higher their perceived average commission amount, the more people who get their licenses and jump in. So the first step of learning, and this is the hard lesson of a business, is you may earn $10,000, but what are you actually going to net? Understand the economics of our business. And I totally get it. If you're outside of our industry, like, why would you know how that works? But we have to pay Uncle Sam. And so we have to do that when you're self-employed every quarter. And that's a hard lesson when people forget that, because now they're paying interest to Uncle Sam. It's bad enough if you don't like taxes, but to pay interest on those taxes is no fun at all. So you have to learn to set aside money, right, that will be going to your taxes. You're also going to split some of that money with whatever broker you're working with. And if you're on a team, you'll be splitting money with them. And so we did 3 models of how the money works in real estate. If you're a solo new agent working at a brokerage, if you're a solo new agent working at a low-cost brokerage, right? Because they do different things. Some people say we have a split for this, and some people add fees. And you just want to look at what that looks like and understand. And then you have, what does it look like on a team? And at the end of the day, the numbers, the net numbers that you can expect, right? Based on your expenses, you don't have your cost of sale, which is if you get paid, there are people you have to pay. Right? So I got paid, therefore I owe my broker or my team a little of this money. And so you look, and I think it came out on $10,000 in the examples, it came out to like $4,500 to $3,500 was the range. And the lowest amount was on a team. And this is where it was kind of unpopular. And people were like, but wait, Jay, if someone was starting in real estate, they said, I've got to replace my $100,000 income, where would you send them? I would send them straight to a team. Because they would be focused. They would have someone telling them what to do every day. They wouldn't have to get messed around with all of the paperwork.
That is an unpopular opinion. Did they beat you up when y'all went in the room and you said this?
But it's the truth. So like we make books about telling people the truth and then they get to make their choices. But the thing you get on a team is you get all of that knowledge. You get more focus. You get to see success up close and you get into deal flow. You get more opportunities to actually sell homes. So even if you make less on a per transaction basis, I see people earn more over time. But that's not for everyone. Like, Emmerich, did you start on a team or did you start your own?
I started my own.
That's what I thought.
And the thing about that is where people discount is the learning curve. Because I had a team and I was teaching agents things that they would have never learned anywhere else. I was teaching them what I already learned. So they were learning through me. And at the end of the day, they were in production faster. They made more money. I had a couple of them earn that $100,000 in their first year.
Yeah.
Had they coming straight out of college, there's no way they would have done that. Just coming straight in this business. They just wouldn't have.
We know this because we've been taught this in our system. You have to understand, and it's a choice that people have to make. Like, no, I really want to build my own business. And I get that. And that's a great choice. And a lot of people make it. And a lot of there's not success stories and failures based on this. But you have to understand what you're choosing. Both of them have pain points. Which problems do you want? But like I look up and I want to know how experienced an agent is. I don't look at how many years they've been in the business. I want to know how many transactions they've done.
Ding, ding, ding.
Every transaction is its own little mystery to solve.
Yeah. Definitely.
And each time you work through, well, what happens when their credit's bad? Well, what happens when they go buy a bunch of furniture before the closing date? All of those are new problems. So you don't have to learn them all before you start, but you accumulate those experiences. And that's what make really great agents great, is they now have 1,000 tricks in their little bag of tricks that whatever happens, they can go back in their memory bank and say, this has happened before, this is how we solved it, and this is how we'll do it together. Mm-hmm. And that gives you confidence that's unbelievable.
And I believe that's a part of the challenge, Jay, being that rookie, is that you've seen the success that other people have and you think you deserve the success at the same time. And the only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary. and everybody wants it that way. And it's just not real. And so how unpopular it may not be, it may be that you started with the team conversation. That's real.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but if I'm not on a team and all I've got is the real estate book, the rookie real estate book, okay, and I've got the right mindset, and I get it. I got to pay people money. I'm going to have to pay somebody some of my money.
I'll just wrap that up. Thank you. You're okay. About to transition. I'm sorry to interrupt. But like the point is, like they don't need to do 8 houses to replace their income. They may have to do 16 or 15. So it allows them to set the right goals to get where they want to go. Because now I understand how money flows in this business. I can actually set the right goal so that I can do the right activities to hit it. When people start off with misconceptions, they just look up 9 months later and they have really rude surprises. So the whole point of that is, if I understand the game I'm playing, the rules of the game, especially around the money, then I can set appropriate goals and I can go for it. So Julia, back to you. I just wanted to like, why are we talking about money? I don't want to just discourage people. I want people to know, you can make a lot of money in this business, but you have to know how the money flows.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more. Yeah, and that is where I was transitioning to. Great. If I know how the money flows, but how do I actually get leads? How do I get people to give me money? Yeah.
Well, that's where I think a lot of people look up. And I think if you're an experienced agent listening to this, and I know you'll have a broad audience of experienced agents, you might say, oh, but that's for new agents. So a lot of the activities we aim new agents at are the activities we probably shouldn't leave behind. So we kind of walk people through the difference between marketing and prospecting. Marketing are activities that you probably spend money on to do like social ads or whatever it is that you're doing to put your value proposition out in the world and hopefully make your phone ring. And then prospecting is when you go out in the world, maybe you do an event, you do a seminar for first-time home buyers, or you go knock on doors, or you actually maybe call your sphere in a TCPA-compliant manner. You go out, you're doing outreach. So you're in one, you invest your money in order to attract people, and the other, you invest your time in order to reach people. And so we walk people through the basic understanding. These are the two kinds of ways that you develop business in real estate, in any sales business, and you want a balance of both. And we only give them maybe 10 choices because there are things that they don't need to do to start off. Like if you're a writer, great, go ahead and start your blog or whatever, but you're very unlikely to make $100,000 through a blog day one. And it's the same for farming. You might want to start a farm, but no, that's going to pay off in 18 months, not today. So it's really fundamentals. Do you have a database? Are you touching your SOI? If we told them to do one thing more than anything, it would be call those core people, about 150 people who know you, Emmerich, Julia, they know what you do. They're rooting for you. Are you talking to them 4 times a year? And we give people the formula for doing it, right? So you work your database by phone, by you send out cards, whatever, and then you do a prospecting and a marketing activity. We ask people to only have 4 or 5 things that they're doing. 3 is enough, but at least 1 has to be marketing, and we advocate for the database, and 1 has to be prospecting. And the sweet center we devoted a whole chapter to is open houses. And that's the one that you see experienced agents turn up their nose.
Right.
But why open houses? Because it's marketing and prospecting. You market your open house, and then you get to meet face-to-face with people. The only reasons that they are there are two. They are nosy neighbors that want to see the inside of someone else's house, or they're actually thinking about buying or selling a home, right? It's not the same as bumping into someone at the mall. They are looking at a home for sale. So you get the opportunity to put your cards out there, your signs and yards. I am hosting an open house. And you get to meet face-to-face, which is the best way to do business. So in short, we give them a map. You get to choose your own adventure based on your skills and what you actually will do, right? We learned that from, I think her name is Ashley Hargrove. She's a productivity coach in Boston. She coaches people, like, just because everybody told you to do X, like, does that actually just fill you with fear? Like, maybe attach it to something you love. So one woman volunteered at a hospital, and I remember Ashley said, do you know that doctors get special deals on real estate? Like, no. Well, why don't you volunteer at the hospital and then invite them to a seminar on how they could be investing in real estate? Like, how do we line up the things so that we'll actually do them? So Very few things, a little bit of marketing, a little bit of prospecting, and in the middle is your database. If you keep it simple and do the activities, you can start getting business to close in the first 90 to 120 days, which is how people stick.
The more you're talking, the more I'm feeling like this book is basically Ignite in a book in several pages. And for those of you listening, Ignite is new agent training that Keller
which
Williams
I wrote.
Has written.
Three of the five versions that are out there.
Yeah, yes. This is sounding awfully familiar, Jay. It's all sounding...
Well, you know why? The basics don't go out of style.
That's it.
Right? There are new things. Like when we wrote The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, social media wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
So we've added the new things and we've put them in perspective in this book. Sure. And this is the only book that you'll find on the shelves that I'm aware of that shows you how to build a career that is compliant with the new legal changes as well.
And I'm going back to what I said. This is not a rookie book. It's a real estate practice book because just in that dialogue about when we talked about growing the database, we talked about servicing clients, we talked about lead generation. Those are just, again, basic fundamentals that a lot of people just don't know and understand. And I took a look at the overview of the book and I looked at it. I was like, man, this is not rookie. This is real.
Yeah.
This is real.
I mean, I don't think in any of our books that we've written to date did we cover the database. We always tell people, your database is your business.
Right.
Your business is your database, either way you say it. But that is, and that's fundamentally, if you go to sell your business, that's what they're actually buying. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so if people aren't working it from the beginning, they don't build the habits of success for later. But like, we dedicated three full chapters. How to build it in the beginning, how to actually work it, and then we used a garden metaphor, like how to pull out the weeds and fertilize it over time. Because you know this, y'all do this, like you put tags and labels in there. Like, these are my basketball buddies. You know, this are the people that I invite to my PTA board. Like whatever those core, and now you can, the beauty of a database, it allows you to give the right message to the right people at the right time. What we hate are when we get generic messages, right, that are just sent to everyone in the database. Like, I want something that looks like it was aimed at me, right? Because I'm on the PTA board with Julia, when she sends that out and writes it just for that group of 50 parents that are in that group, she can write it in such a way it feels appropriate for all of them, which makes them more likely to respond and act. So it's not rocket science, but we do have to set up a system. So we three whole chapters to how to do that on a really simple level and not get caught up in spreadsheets and post-it notes.
Would you say the difference between the two of these books, The Rookie Real Estate Agent and The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, is one is fundamentals and one is systems and models? Or are they both fundamentals and systems and models? Because Emmerich was saying it's not for rookies, it's for anybody. These are fundamentals. So what's the difference, you think?
The difference is the question we asked. So it is a book of models, but it also has some tactics. Like, we didn't cover how to host an open house, right, in The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, because our presumption there is that people had some minimum level of knowledge.
Got it. Yeah.
And so we really explained the basics in this book, which is probably good for some people as a refresher, right? Like, how do you go from contract to close in an attorney state versus a title state? right? We had to cover the basics in this book that we didn't have to cover in The Millionaire Real Estate Agent. We give people very basic models, like the budget model in this book is very simple. Because a new agent or a solo agent in the beginning arc of their career, they do have a simple budget model, right? Yeah. It's not complicated and they shouldn't complicate it. We give them a simple database model and we don't give them a million choices because we know if someone's going to stick in real estate and become a full-time agent and eventually become a millionaire, they need to start earning income quickly and have a pipeline of future income. And there's not a lot of things they need to be focused on in those first 6 to 9 months to make that happen, period. So it allowed us to eliminate a lot of the choices and focus on the handful that are actually there to help someone become successful in the beginning, or to use your language, like how to ignite their career so they can go to the next level.
What I hear you saying, Jay, is the book actually helps you stay more focused so you're not chasing rabbits and squirrels and everything else. It helps you stay focused on how to grow your business so you can grow your life.
Yes.
Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I did write the one thing before this one, right? So yeah. We have a whole chapter on success habits too.
Yes.
Right? And the habits you build at the beginning of your career can mm-hmm. either serve you for the rest of your career or hold you back. Right? Molly DeMatos, we interviewed, and she talked very frankly. She's all about activity. I love Molly. Yeah. She's a great agent. She's a great coach. But she used Post-it notes. And she was always writing down on scraps of paper, her pockets, her, you know, her suit pockets, her whatever. It's always full of these little follow-up with this person. This is what they want. She didn't use a database. And she lost a lot of business because of it. And it's funny, like now, her prime coaching role is coaching people on how to build and manage their database, right? She learned her lessons and learned them so well she could teach other people. But those habits, like if she could go back in time, she would have been teaching herself what she now teaches agents to do, which is like, it's not a lot of things. You don't have to go pay thousands of dollars for Salesforce, right? You could start with just your phone or a spreadsheet, or like we have Command, right? If you're an agent, it's incredibly affordable. But like a very simple system and work it in a simple way to get outsized extraordinary results. That's the paradox. I'm doing simple things in a simple way, but they yield extraordinary results. Like, how does that happen? That's the fundamentals, baby.
So to use your one thing, you know, kind of model, if there was a rookie agent that should only master one system, are you saying that one system should be their database? Or what should that one system in their first 90 days be?
In their first 90 days, like we go through this in the order. You have to understand how like the financials work. So you understand and can set goals. We have a whole chapter that's dedicated to understanding how markets work. What's a buyer's market? What's a seller's market? What are the stats that matter and why do they matter? It's like a 12-page masterclass on how to read the real estate market. So we walk through the fundamentals. What is your value proposition going to be? And even experienced agents struggle with how to simply say, you should choose me because, fill in the blank. Yeah. Because I'm standing in front of you right now? Maybe. But like, can you do a little bit better than that? So we teach people like how to position yourself now that you've got your license and everybody's like, but I've never sold a deal. Why would anybody choose me? We answer that question. We tell them how to talk about it. And then we give them, yes, the database is the foundation of everything, even if you start super simple, a spreadsheet if you had to, but not Post-it notes. And, you know, that's absolutely wrong. We give you a few choices from free to a small investment, set it up, but then it's the activities you do around the database that add up. And like I said, we only gave them like 10 choices.
Sure.
You know, you're going to call your sphere, right? Which is those people who already know and like you. We want to do business with people we know, like, and trust. It is a truth in any business. You already have those people. And all you have to do is regularly talk to them. Otherwise, your neighbor is going to have a competitor sign in their yard. And it happens to all of us. And we're like, what? That's my neighbor. They know I'm in real estate, but were you talking to them about real estate? No. Then we give them a few choices based on their skills. A lot of teachers are very successful in real estate. It's like, well, why wouldn't you teach seminars, right? Here's how to downsize your home. Here's how to buy your first home. Here's how to buy a vacation home. You can learn all of this in your office, you know, a good weekend of study, and you can go in, and every time you have an answer you don't know, say, great, Can I have permission to follow up with you? I will go find the answer. Guess what? Now you might have a lead because now you get to have an appointment and have a conversation and follow up with them. So, like, don't overcomplicate it. There's a handful of activities that if you do them, the outcomes will follow.
I just want you to know, I believe that you were stepping on my toes intentionally because you were talking about the Post-it notes.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Did you feel that?
I felt it because 32 years I've had these little notepads in front of me and I always write on my little notepads. So I'm sitting here with this notepad in front of me. However, what I did learn was that I have to take the little notepad and make sure that all of the numbers go into the database. And so I just felt like you were just stepping on my toes with the notepad things. With the Post-it, and I was like, dude, really?
Today, the cool kids don't use notepads, right? But they put their notes on their phone.
Right.
And the whole question, is that information available when you need it?
Yes.
That's a good
point. And so the point of a database is we're always collecting knowledge. Oh, you know, like, what are Julia's hobbies? Where did Emmerich go to college? Who's his favorite ball club? Right? That's great salespeople collect information. Like, my favorite thing to know about people that I want to hang out with, what's your go-to coffee order? And the moment I know it, it goes into my database. Because the next time we're out, I can say, Julia, can I get you a coffee? And you're like, sure. I said, latte with 2 Splendas, right? And she's like, what? Like, showing that you know people,
right,
makes them feel seen and they love you for it. It's not complicated, but you cannot do that with your brain alone. Nobody can. Not at scale, but if you start adding that, hey, I took this person on an open house, and these are the 2 or 3 things they said. Now the next time you see them, it's like, hey, you remember we were looking at the open house? You were really struggling about when you might want to move because you're really waiting. Should you move before or after your kid's in middle school? So do you have answers? Can I help you? But you don't remember to have that conversation and help them feel seen unless you've built a habit of at least maybe once a week. It doesn't have to be every day, but are you updating what you know about people in your database? And more importantly, setting a reminder to talk to them again.
Yeah.
Because we also don't remember to follow up. Oh, your wife had cataract surgery. My database told me to follow up with a friend whose wife had cataract surgery. I knew when it was scheduled. I did it a week later. I said, Michael, how are you doing? Was the surgery successful? And he was blown away. It's like, I can't believe you remembered this. That's the magic of a database.
A lot of times we look at books and books tell us the theory. We always read theory. Overcoming challenges, practical application tools. How does the book help with practical application tools instead of just theory?
I think a lot of our models, and I hope this is what we're known for in the industry, are actionable. Gary and I want to learn in order to do, not just to win trivia contests. So it's knowledge for doing sake.
Yeah. Right.
And my wife runs one of the most successful real estate teams in our system. By herself, she's served about 2,500 families. And with her partners that have joined her team, now 3 other businesses folded in, I think her list is now close to 5,000. And so, like, there's that history that I get to tap into every day from being a co-owner of that team. I also have the experience of working here where I interview hundreds of agents every year.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the thing that I feel like that's one of the reasons Gary and I stuck for 25 years. Like, I don't want to just be smart about stuff. I want to be smart so that I can do them better and succeed higher. So our filter is almost always around practical knowledge. Now, I'm not going to tell you touch by touch how to do every single thing.
Yes.
Because you can go to YouTube and do that. It's going to give you instructions on how to do it generally. Yes.
I want to tap into something really quick, Julia, about like a lot of times we have books and people write books and they have practicum about books and they wrote this and they wrote this and they wrote that. Something that really resonated with what you just said. You said you and Gary stuck for 25 years. So it's like you just woke up one day and decided to write a book. You're writing a book based on 25 years of research.
Well, and Gary's been doing this for what, 47?
Right.
Yeah.
So this book is just full of gems and jewels of how to help people make some special things happen in their life that otherwise they probably would have a severe learning curve if they don't get this book.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wish we'd added it up. If, you know, you're thinking about the Sarah Reynolds and some of the people we interviewed for this book. If you added up the transaction history of the whole,
uh-huh.
I bet we're probably at 100,000 transaction history and, I don't know, billions of dollars in real estate sold if you added up all of the knowledge that we tapped to make this book happen. Okay. I don't love, but I mean, there are some good books that are just how I did it, but that's not how we do it. Yes, I have some of my knowledge, but it's about how do the best people do it is what I want to read about.
Yeah.
Not just how, I mean, I love you guys, but I don't want to hear just how Julia did it or how Emmerich did it.
Right.
But like, I want to see if there's 25 of you achieving it, what's the common thread? And that's how we approach things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or how my daddy did it, and I just took over his business.
Yep. See that a few times.
Well, Jay, to wrap this up, you mentioned something. You mentioned your wife, you know, having one of the top producing real estate teams and being an empire builder and being surrounded by...
she's also a podcast host, like you guys, too.
Yes. And you are, too, by the way. But how do you... This is a kind of a you question. With all of the proximity you have to the high level of success around you, what have you learned about staying curious and staying humble and grounded in the business?
So almost a cheat question for me, because I do think that a lot of my drive comes from, like, I have an insatiable curiosity to know how things work. It's not in a mechanical. I'm not the kid that took apart their dad's, like, lawnmower and then, you know, like, put it back together. Sure. But I do that around business ideas. Like, I go into a restaurant and I just look up and I'm like, I wonder how many times they turn these tables. I wonder, like, how many staff it takes to do this thing. Yeah. So I have an intense curiosity, which is so weird for a French English major, around how business operates and business works. And so I do think the key for most people, like, how do we stay curious versus getting set in our ways? I think if we have someone to give us perspective, right? That we don't know at all. Like, I have coaches. And so I look up and I look up all the time and I'm like, hey, I've got this opportunity to be better. Where should I go learn? If you're on a journey to try to be your best, you'll always be looking for examples of how to be better. And you'll be curious about why some do and some don't work. So mm-hmm. I do want people to be skeptical, because in this industry, you'll walk into a vendor hall and people will say, it only will cost you one transaction, right? And you can get 15 silver bullets in 3 hours at a convention that'll cost you $25,000 a year. But the point is, do you know how to use them,
yeah.
right? So, like, we want people to be wise and be curious at the same time.
That's good. Wow. So where can we get this book at? Where can listeners get this book? How do they get it? Who do they share it with? Tell us all about that.
Yep. So anywhere they buy books, right? I tend to shop. I do probably too much on Amazon, but I love Barnes & Noble and I have my favorite independent bookstore. So wherever they buy books, they can buy this book.
Sure.
And if they're like a leader and like, you know what? I want to give this to my team. I'd probably tell them to go to kellerinc.com and Inc., not INC, but INK, right? Because it's a book business.com. And we have the best bulk prices out there.
That's good. And you'll be pleased to know this. Whenever we finish a podcast, I always ask all of our guests, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
No matter how experienced or successful you are, there's always an opportunity to revisit the basics and look for an opportunity to really ground your foundation a little bit firmer so that you can jump that much higher.
Get the book, The Rookie Real Estate Agent. We are glad you joined us today. Stay tuned next week for another fabulous episode of The Color of Money podcast. Y'all take care. Follow The Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning: you must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.